from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin podcast.
This guest is very insightful, very good. Understands the game he's talking about and played the game at a great level, and that would be Pete Rose. Pete Rose is this week's guest, and before we get to Pete, and he talks about the game that's going to be played now, what he thinks of it, the analytics of the game, which I think, and I've said this many, many times, I think is a joke, and it's hurting the game. Pete's talked about that. But there's also some other issues going on. One of those is I hear fans worry that JT Realmuto, the Phillies catcher, if he gets the free agency, oh, he may not sign with the Phillies. I'm telling you right now, whether they sign him during the season, whether they sign him after the season, or he gets the free agency, there is absolutely no way that the Phillies will let JT Realmuto go. And he wants to play here. So they may have to outbid somebody. That's okay. I guarantee you that JT Realmuto will be playing for the Phillies next year. Guarantee it. Other issues going on, obviously, the DeSean Jackson posts and the multiple apologies and then screwing it up again. And hopefully somewhere along the way he learns. But the other players that are out there saying stupid things, they have got to stop. They have got to stop. Malik Jackson, he took down his post. Steven Jackson is the former NBA player, is a total idiot. And Malcolm Jenkins should stop with what is obviously his own agenda and being totally dismissive of the comments made by DeSean Jackson or the comments posted. And, you know, it's don't lose focus, and Jews have their, I mean, it's just, I don't even want to get into it, but Malcolm Jenkins is just, hey, if he wants to help and he wants to be a voice for Black Lives Matter, I have no problem with it, and I think it's great if he wants to help. But don't be dismissive of another issue, and I think that's a problem. All right, Pete Rose, very, very, very insightful conversation that I have with Pete Rose. All right, here he is, the Hit King.
All right, I'm here with the man who has accomplished so many things in baseball. I'm going to run down the list, and then we'll talk to Pete. Hits, 4,256. Actually, a plus 500 managerial record, which I don't think people realize that. You won a lot of games. 17-time All-Star, 3-time World Champion, National League MVP, World Series MVP, National League Rookie of the Year, 2-time Gold Glove, 3-time Batting Champion, and many Major League records that we don't have time to talk about, and that would be Pete Rose. Pete, this is a long list. You must have played for a long
time. Well, let me tell you something, King.
Pete Rose with us, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have to correct you with this, that of all the records I have, and I don't know, it's in the 20s, Major League records, but the best record I have, and it really helped me by going to play with the Phillies for 5 years, is I played in 1972 winning games. That's about 250 more than a guy at second. Because when I played with the Phillies and with the Reds, and even with Montreal, I always had great, great players. We got a minute. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to explain something to you, and the fans will understand how much fun it was for me to play the game of baseball. Okay, I'm going to go around the horn and name my teammates that I played with. Okay, catcher Johnny Bench, Hall of Fame. Third base, Mike Schmidt, Hall of Fame. Shortstop, Barry Larkin, Hall of Fame. Second baseman, Joe Morgan, Hall of Fame. First baseman, Tony Perez, Hall of Fame. Left fielder, Frank Robinson, Hall of Fame. Center fielder, Tim Raines, Hall of Fame. Right fielder, Andre Dawson, Hall of Fame. Left-hand pitcher, Steve Carlton. Right-hand pitcher, Tom Seaver. And manager, Sparky Anderson. That's the lineup that I played with in my career.
Boy, that's
is
unbelievable. I mean, there's just and anybody that knows the history of baseball really understands all those things and knows all those players and the manager too. That's
well, they're all in the Hall of Fame.
I know,
they're all in the Hall of Fame. Who else can say that?
No, I just it is kind of amazing.
And I'm not even on that team.
I know. And we'll get into
I'm sitting
too.
Over there on the bench, the utility player.
Yeah, all right. Well, Pete Rose, the Hit King, talking to the King. I don't reference that much. But well, I'm going to get to the 80 Phillies. But what I want to do is talk about baseball right now. And baseball right now, the situation right now with this, let's start with this season. 60 games. Is this really a season? Is this really baseball?
Well, it's not, but don't forget, Howard, you know, we're both older. We've never seen anything like this in our country before. So I guess what you're saying is we have to take what we can get. I mean, I'm not recommending anybody getting off to a slow start. You're not going to be in the playoffs this year if you get off to a slow start. Okay? And right now, I think pitchers are probably ahead of hitters. Because all hitters are getting this batting practice. You don't get ready for a season without those spring training games, hitting off a live major league pitching. And right now, all the hitters are hitting off their own pitchers.
So what do you expect? What do you expect out of this season, Pete? What do you expect to see?
I'm going to tell you right now, and I could be wrong. I think the team is going to have the best seasons this year are the teams that have the best middle relief pitching. Because there's no way pitchers are going to be ready to go 6-7 innings on opening day. You have to have that middle relief, and the middle relief in a regular season gets tired in September and August. They're not going to get tired this year if you use them right. And now we're going to find out how many teams have good middle relievers. Because you know and I know, what are middle relievers? Guys that aren't good enough to start and guys that aren't good enough to close. But they're on the roster. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? I told you this the other day when I talked to you. I live in Vegas, okay? And I watch baseball every day. Majority of runs are scored in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings of games today. Because of middle relief pitching. And the teams with good middle relief pitching are the teams that usually go to the World Series. And I tell people this every day, I don't know if you agree or disagree. I don't ever remember in all my years as going to spring training. I went 24 years as a player, and I went 5 or 6 as a manager. And I was guilty of this, too. I don't ever remember a manager that had a spring training where his opening day pitcher was ready to go 9 innings. Now, if your opening day pitcher is not ready to go deep into the game, what do you start doing on opening day? You start exercising your bullpen. That's why these bullpens get tired. That's why they get tired. They just, they're not programmed to pitch the amount of innings that is needed to pitch in middle relief. You know, you won't have any shutouts on opening day. I don't care if Gerrit Cole does pitch, or Max Scherzer does pitch, or Verlander does pitch. They'll give you 5 or 6 good innings, especially this year, because they don't want to take a chance of hurting anybody.
Pete,
you know, I always thought spring training was too long for me, but it wasn't too long for pitchers because right. They baby pitchers. First time out, 3 innings. Next time out, 4 or 5 innings. Next time out, 6 innings. Then it's ready to break camp. Pete, and the most efficient spring training is 6 innings.
The way the game's played today, I have a problem with it, and I'm sure you have some problems. When I talk about the way the game's played, analytics is an awful, awful, awful word in baseball. You wouldn't have had 4,256 hits today because they don't want a single hitter. They don't want a guy that goes from first to third. They don't want that anymore. What do you think about the game today?
Well, okay, I understand what you're saying, but let me ask you something that I would think they would want, okay? And that's I played 1,972 winning games, okay, and I scored over 2,000 runs. If they don't want that, they don't deserve to win. Okay, I don't know if I was managed today, I'd deal with analytics. Because I would deal with my stomach, my gut feeling a lot. You know, it's not some guy upstairs. It's an assistant to the general manager is telling me when to take the guy out, or when to bring this guy in, to bring that guy in. You know, baseball is a game of averages, but they don't always work. Okay? And when's the last time a guy that was big on analytics won a World Series? And the last time I checked, Howard, you know this as well as I, aren't you playing to try to win a World Series, and that's your goal for every town that has a baseball team, to try to win the damn World Series?
Yeah, but they think by doing it, it's about home runs, walks, and they don't care about strikeouts. What was the most you ever struck out in a season? It couldn't have been that much.
Oh, I probably had a year where I had 70 one year. I think that was the most.
70, that's the first half of the season.
Listen, if I struck out and hurt 20 times, I'd have been sent back to the minor leagues.
It's amazing. It's a home run, a walk, or nothing. What do you think about the philosophy? Well, strikeouts aren't a problem. What happened to putting the ball in play and moving the runner? Don't you have a little bit of a problem with that in the game today?
Yes, absolutely. I just told a kid I was talking to, okay? There's two situations in baseball. When you step in the batter's box, you got to think about what you're doing, okay? One is a man on second, no outs. One is a man on third, less than 2 outs. The man on second, no outs, you have, if you have to use your elbow, get that guy to third for the next guy to get the easy RBI. If he's on third, less than 2 outs, what's the pitcher trying to do? Trying to keep the ball down so you can't hit a fly ball. So give him a chance to screw up, because pitchers will screw up, okay? Most pitchers are nice guys, but they're stupid, okay? They don't want to get you out. They want to make you look bad. Get the guy out, okay? I played in 3,500 games, okay? I'm going to give you a scenario for your fans that I've never seen, and I bet they have never seen. You're leading off first, second, third, fourth inning. You're leading off, you walk. I'm hitting second, I walk. Schmitty is hit third. The first pitch is a wild pitch. Now we're second, third, no outs. Second, third, no outs. First, second, third, fourth inning. What's it take to score 2 runs without the ball leaving the infield? I've never seen it happen. You know what it takes?
It takes, you got to make contact. I mean, you got to make contact.
It takes two measly-ass ground balls to the second baseman.
Right. Yeah. But they don't want to do that.
The reason I said first, second, third, fourth inning, because after the fourth inning, you probably bring the infield in, and that scenario is wiped off the map. I've never seen that happen. Because how many times do you think Joe Morgan and I were first and second, or Tim Raines and I were first and second, third, no outs? But we always had Schmitty coming up, Lozinski coming up, Perez coming up, Bench coming up, and Andre Dawson coming up, pool hitters, right-hand hitters. And they, even back in them days, they wouldn't give themselves up to try to get the run in.
How much of a problem do you have in today's game where players are judged on computers rather than Dallas Green? Obviously was your manager at the time, but he was the farm director. Actually before the first year you came there, but he and Paul Owens did it on instinct. It was instinct. Yeah. It was that guy can play and that guy can't play. You know, how much of that is missing in today's game?
A lot. I mean, I can't look at a computer and see if a guy's a good player. I don't know how his preparation is. I mean, does he have an attitude? And by the way, I did something not very few people do. I played in Philly 5 years for four managers. Four managers in 5 years. And I'm going to go on record. I told you this before. The biggest reason we won in 1980 wasn't me, wasn't Lozinski, wasn't Schmitty, wasn't Carlton. It was Dallas Green. Because we needed a kick-ass type manager. And I don't know if Dallas had it because he had Boone, he had Maddox, he had Schmitty, he had Boa. He had them all in the minor leagues. And he knew how to yell at them. And he got the most out of them. So I give all the credit to the 1980 Phillies to Dallas Green. Just because of his personality. That was the perfect personality for that group of guys.
You know what? I wanted to talk about that team, and Dallas Green was an interesting guy.
I can't forget about Tubb, too. I got to mention Tubb, too. He had a pretty good year, too.
Yes, he did. Well, Dallas and Gary Maddox, and Gary was on WIP last week, and he didn't realize it until later how important Dallas Green was to get on him. How serious and how a contentious was that between Dallas Green and Gary? I mean, he got on everybody, but Gary took it harder than everybody else.
And Sparky taught me this, Howie, and it makes a lot of sense. And Dallas' philosophy, I think, was this too. There's three ways you can treat a person. Think about this. You can pat them on the butt, you can kick them in the butt, or you leave them alone. Gary was the type of guy that you needed to pat on the butt. Boa was the type of guy you needed to kick in the butt. Schmitty was the type of guy you need to pat on the butt. Okay? And there's some guys you just leave alone. Dallas didn't ever say anything to me. He just put my name in the lineup and let me play. Because he knew I was going to play the game hard and I was going to play the game the correct way. There's a right way to play the game and a wrong way to play the game. And a lot of these teams play the game the right way because it's taught the right way in the minor leagues. And today, guys don't spend much time in the minor leagues. And they don't teach fundamentals in college. They don't teach fundamentals in American Legion baseball, high school baseball. It's just certain guys that go out of their way to teach the fundamentally way to play the game of baseball. And Dallas was a pitcher. He was a pitcher, but he knew fundamentals of the person, okay? He couldn't talk to me about hitting. He didn't know damn thing about hitting. But he knew about getting in the batter's box, what kind of attitude you had. And that's why he was so successful. He treated everybody different. You know why? Because everybody is different.
He was the difference. You came in 79 when you signed with the Phillies, and then Danny Ozark was the manager. So how much different was it from Danny Ozark to Dallas Green on that 80 team?
Well, Danny was just so laid back, see? And I knew that coming in from talking to Schmitty and Bo, and I used to go out to eat with him all the time. But don't forget, Danny won three straight divisional titles. Mm-hmm. So I can't sit here and badmouth Danny Ozark. I wasn't badmouthing Paul Owens or Pat Corrales or Danny Ozark, I was complimenting Dallas Green. That's what I was doing, because Dallas Green was the guy that got us over the hump. Danny Ozark, he wasn't a bad manager. I don't think any of the four guys I mentioned were bad managers. I never have figured out why Pat Corrales got fired. They fired Pat Corrales when he was in first place. I remember we were in New York playing the Mets.
By the way, I applied for that manager's job.
Why did they? I never did understand it.
The Phillies were only one game, but they were only one game over 500, I think, at the time, and obviously the expectations were higher than that. And I don't know what Pat had a different kind of personality, kind of a different, good guy, different guy. But he didn't. He might have been tough on players, but. I can't explain it. I wasn't in there like you are as a player, but Dallas was tough on players, but Pat was tough on players too, but the players wouldn't accept it then, right?
Well, Dallas was tough on players, King, but he wasn't personal. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Dallas yelled at everybody. And, I remember when Sparky came to Cincinnati. Sparky who? Because he was third base coach San Diego. And I was the oldest member of the Big Red Machine, okay? And I went to Sparky one time. I said, Sparky, I said, listen, if you want to have a meeting and yell at me, go ahead. Because if you yell at me, you're going to be able to yell at the rest of the guys. And I was teasing him. I said, well, I probably won't screw up on the field. However, if I do, you have my permission to scream at me and say, what the hell are you doing? You know, throw to a wrong base or do this or do that. Or just do a blunder. And he did. Because I got thrown out second, or I got thrown out third to start the inning. And he got up in the meeting and he said, Rose, why are you getting thrown out third to start the inning? Why would you do that? Is that stupid base running or what? And I shook my head, yes, sir, it was. So then the other players, the Concepciones and the Geronimos and the Griffies, they knew if he could yell at me, he could yell at them.
Well,
and
you know,
the rest is history.
You love Dallas Green because your only Grand Slam, I believe, was off Dallas Green.
One Grand Slam off of Dallas. And that was a monster hit, man. I hit that thing. That ball would have went out of Yellowstone Park.
I'll bet it would have. It's crazy. What did you do? And people credit you for a lot of what was done, and you give the credit to Dallas Green. But what did you do to push these guys? You know, Schmitty was kind of a laid-back guy.
Yeah.
Bowie, different personalities. What did you do to kind of bring that together?
Well, first of all, when I reported to the Philly clubhouse in Clearwater, I already had World Series titles, and I already had over 3,000 hits. I didn't walk into the clubhouse and say, okay, guys, I'm here. I'm your team leader. Because to be honest with you, Hallie, I had a hell of a year, 1979, and we didn't win. But once the players, Schmidt, Luzinski, and those guys, they saw me play the way I played every day, they knew I wasn't phony. Okay? And I think what I did for the Phillies, which was the best thing I did for the Phillies, when I got there in 79, Mike Schmidt was the best player in the league 3 or 4 days a week. And after playing with me a year, he became the best player 7 days a week. I made Mike understand that you can't hit a home run every day. You can make plays with your glove, with your speed, with your base running, with your leadership. And he did. Because I think I took the pressure off of Mike Schmidt by just who I was and what I've accomplished. And I think that's what really helped the Phillies more than the base hits I got or anything else.
You know, everybody knew what kind of player you were when you were with Cincinnati and you came there.
Yeah.
In your first year with the Phillies, you hit .331. You had a great year. So what was missing? What was missing from that 79 team to the 80 team?
Well, one thing we had in the 80 team, the last 6-7 weeks of the season, Tug saved everything. I mean, we had an ace in our bullpen. His name was Tug McGraw. I mean, if we had a lead going in the 7th or 8th inning, we were home free. Okay, and I just think we all came together, and I didn't have a great year in 1980. I did okay, Schmitty had a great year. He was MVP, I think.
Yep.
Boa did well. Luszczynski did well. But we all just clicked. We were a close-knit family. I remember we used to go out on the road, and most all the guys would be in the same steakhouse. You know, we'd sit by each other on the airplanes. We all got along good with each other, and we all knew we had a good team. You know, you had all-stars at every position. You know, Schmidt was an all-star. Bo was good. Luszczynski was an all-star. Maddox, Boone were all-stars. You know, Trio was an all-star. We had good players, and we had good enough pitching and a great bullpen. And Dallas, being the pitcher, knew how to use the bullpen. He never got tugged tired. Never got tugged tired.
Yeah, but and back then, and relief pitch. Back then, when you got a save, there was guys who were getting 2 and 3 inning saves. Now you get 1 and 2 out saves, yeah, or 1 inning saves. The whole game is different.
Oh no, he didn't bring Tug McGraw in for one hitter. Or one inning. I mean, when Tug had a chance to save the game, Tug could save a game. God bless Tug. He could save a game, and we knew that. You know, when you shorten the game, Howie, it's what you do when you got a Goose Gossage or a Tug McGraw or somebody like that. You got a better chance of winning the game if you can shorten the game to 7 innings instead of 9 innings. You got a real good chance of winning that game. And that's what Tug did. He shrunk the game.
There were so many great moments in 80. All right, you win in Montreal. Yeah. Schmitty hits the home run. So now you're moving on to the playoffs. And you play the Houston Astros, and I believe it was only a 5-game series at that time to get into the World Series. One of the greatest.
By the way, it was the best playoff in the history of baseball, and no one ever talks about it. That playoff was unbelievable.
It was incredible. And you beat Nolan Ryan the first time he ever lost the lead when he had the lead in the 7th inning.
Yeah.
And what do you remember about that game? And if I remember correctly, didn't you score to either win the game or tie the game in that game?
Well, I scored on the, I was on first, and the bull hit a ball down the left field line. And I'm telling you the truth, I got away with it. That was the first time in my career I ever went through a stop sign. Billy DeMars had the stop sign up, and I could see the ball down the left field line when I was running the third, and I just said, I got to score. And the ball beat me by 15 feet, but a short hop Bruce Bochy. Remember, I hit him with my elbow?
Yep.
And I scored the run, and we won the game. But we got lucky there because I went through a stop sign, and I normally never went through a stop sign. But I did go through that one. I honestly did. And if you ever see a replay, you can see Billy DeMars' hands up, which was the right call, stopping me. But the shortstop made a bad short hop throw to Bochy, and he just couldn't handle it. And then I remember Booney got a hit or something off of Nolan Ryan in the 9th inning. And once Booney got on there, then I eked out a walk against him. We were off and running because Terry Poole had a great series that year. I mean, if they'd have won, he'd have been the most valuable player in that series.
Really,
but it was just every game was a one-run game, and I remember when they went ahead in the 8th inning, and this was Game 5, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when they took Morgan out for a pinch runner, I thought the roof of that dome was going to cave in. It was so loud in there. That's the loudest sporting event I ever heard in my life. Was when they took the lead in Game 5 in the 8th inning.
If not the best, it's no more than 1A of a playoff series. But you know, that team. But then after that, and I'll never forget this in 81, which was the split season. And I remember, and your locker was right across from Dallas Green's office. And Dallas Green and people were, and when the second half, you didn't have the same energy because you already made the playoffs. If you won the first half, you were already in. So the second half, so Dallas goes off. I'm walking out of his office. I left my recorder, and I still have the recorder. I'll never forget this line. I want a bleeping stop to this bleeping split season. He just went off, and it's just, I'm walking out laughing, and you're at your locker, and you're kind of smiling, but we knew what he was doing. He wanted everybody in that locker room to hear him. Is that correct? He just went off.
Yeah.
2.5 He had 47.5 bleeps in like 2.5 minutes. It was unbelievable. I counted them.
that's the way he, that's the way he was. But he never took anything personal toward a player. He felt if you screwed up, he's going to yell at you. And it's justified. He's not going to yell at you if you did the right thing. He's only going to – he don't care who you are. Mike Schmidt, Pete Rose, Greg Luzinski, or Barry Lurch. It didn't matter. It didn't matter who it was. If you didn't do your job, he was going to let you know about it. And he did his job.
Why didn't this team –
I mean, he didn't have a lot of managerial experience, but he won a world championship.
Why didn't this team win
another? He's the main reason we won. He's the main reason we won just with his personality.
Why didn't this team win another World Series? Why didn't the team that you were on, you were here from 79 through what was it, 84. Why didn't the team win another World Series?
83.
Okay.
Well, we did win in 83. We went to the World Series.
You didn't win it. You didn't win it.
Well, there's only two teams to get there, Howie.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, sure, you like to win every year, but it's just like how many times you win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, this kid signed a $510 million contract as quarterback for Kansas City, okay? And you know what the rest of his career, the over-under for winning Super Bowls is? You don't know?
No.
1.5
Really? Yeah. That's
so he's got a 10-year contract, and the experts think the over-under for him winning Super Bowls is 1.5
It's already posted in Vegas, huh?
Yeah. 1.5
Well, it's
and that's going to be hard for him to do. It's going to be hard for him to do. It's hard for baseball teams to do. Hell, we only won 2 World Series in Cincinnati with the Big Red Machine. We lost in 70. We lost in 72. We lost the playoffs in 73. Then we won in 75 and won in 76. Mm-hmm. Once you get on a roll, Howie, as you know, you're there every day. You see it. It's hard. It's hard to win back-to-back World Series. It's hard to win. That's why you got to give the Yankees all the credit in the world. Those guys won 27 World Championships. How is that possible?
They were all
27 World Championships?
And Pete,
Frankie Corsetti, the third base coach, he got 19 rings. How do you get 19 World Series rings?
That really is amazing. Pete, when you look at the game and you look at the Phillies now, and obviously in 2008, it's a long time ago since they won a World Series. By the way, I think the 80 team, and I've talked to Boa about this, I think the 80 team was, there's no doubt in my mind that the 80 team was better than the 2008 team. It was just,
I used to tell people that the 1980 team would have beat that other team. And I tell people today, I said, we wouldn't have beat them. And people said, well, why wouldn't you beat them? I said, well, we wouldn't beat them because we're all in our 70s.
Forget,
Howie. Yeah. I know you're not going to forget this. When we won in 1980, was the first time in 86 years the Phillies won.
And now?
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
That's almost as long as the Cubs.
Wow. It's just, all right, so now you look at this team, and it's different in today's game. So the Phillies go out, and free agency is, you got to have a good farm system. It's not just free agency. But Bryce Harper was the player that people look at. When you've watched Bryce Harper, and you've seen him before he got here, and then I'm sure watching all those games in Las Vegas, you've seen him. What is your impression of Bryce Harper? As a player and as a hitter.
Bryce Harper's one of the top 5 players in baseball. Bryce's problem is, how about this? He leaves the Washington Nationals, and they win the World Series. Yeah. And here's a guy that's dying to win a championship. But I'm going to tell you what I would do if I was the general manager of the team. See what the Yankees did? They go out and sign the best pitcher. You know, you're not going to win by signing a guy that you know is going to hit 35 home runs, because there's going to be a lot of guys that hit 35 home runs. Okay, I'm going to put my money in pitching. I'm not going to put my big money into a player that may have a good year, may not have a good year. Because you win with pitching. You win with pitching, not with slugging. Okay, there's a lot of teams that slugged last year. Minnesota, you ever hit more home runs than them? But they didn't win because they didn't have pitching. Okay? I want the Phillies to get some frontline pitching. Okay, then just surround themselves underneath Bryce Harper. Okay, you can't sign two or three free agents. Okay, a big name free agents and win. Because I don't care where you're playing, what country you're in, what year you're in, you can't outscore the opposition every night, Howie. You can't win 9-8, 8-7 every night. You got to win some of them 2-1, 1-0 games. And the teams who do that are the teams that win the most games. You've got to have pitching.
Yeah,
good pitching stops good hitting.
You know, the thing with Bryce Harper, and he really, first of all, he became a better outfielder. He didn't become a better outfielder. He played a better outfielder last year in his first year here. However, I'm not a big fan of launch angle and swinging up on the ball. Think about Mike Schmidt and the way he hit. Yeah. With the way the guys hit now, he would swing down on the ball and get topspin.
Yeah.
Now it's all about swinging up and getting launch angle. What the hell is wrong with the game? Think about Mike Schmidt, the difference between Mike Schmidt and I'll use Bryce Harper because he's on the Phillies. Which one would you rather have? Far as a hitter, not as far as a player. We know Schmidt is the best third baseman in baseball. As far as a hitter, which hitter would you rather have?
I want the run producer. That would be Mike Schmidt. And Harper's good. I mean, Harper's one of the best in the league. Okay? But what Harper don't have that Mike Schmidt had is he had guys at the top of the order that's on that base every time he comes up. That's what Benjamin Perez had. Okay? When you got me and Morgan leading off and hitting second, you're going to knock in a lot of runs. You're going to win a lot of games just because you have the opportunity to knock in runs. Bryce Harper don't have a lot of table setters.
Well, you know, everybody's trying to hit home run.
Well, if you're going to lead off for the Phillies, don't worry about home runs. And let me tell you something about home runs, especially the ballparks they play in today. Hank Aaron never hit a tape measure home runs and hit 755 of them. He hit line drive home runs. Guys today don't understand. Line drives go out of the ballpark today with this juiced up baseball in these small ballparks. Playing in Houston is a joke, Howie. Playing in Philly, playing in Cincinnati, playing in Camden Yards, playing in Colorado, the new ballpark in Atlanta. Those ballparks are jokes. They're jokes. I mean, Yankee Stadium right center is so narrow they took the sign down. What was it, 314 to right center to an alley? I mean, that's why the guys are all swinging for home runs, because the owners have proven to the guys, you hit 30, 35 home runs, you're going to make 10, 15 million a year.
Can you imagine Mike Schmidt trying to explain hitting to these guys?
No. They would laugh at him. So would I. It's just like in the history of baseball, Howie, Pete Rose choked up on the bat. Okay? That's forbidden today. Barry Bonds choked up on the bat. So the guy with the most hits and the guy with the most home runs both choked up on the bat. Don't that mean anything to anybody?
No.
I'm too macho to choke up on the bat. I don't even think guys understand why you choke up on the bat. Because it gives you better bat speed. It gives you a better opportunity to put the ball in play.
They don't care about putting the ball in play. You know, there's no first
to third. They don't care about winning.
Well, that's the way the game's played. They don't care about going first to third.
You got to live with it, Howie. You're at Philadelphia, and if they don't care about winning, then don't go to the games.
Well, they care about winning, but they want to win the way they think the analytics. It's stolen bases. One of the most exciting things to watch for a fan. You know, you rattle a pitcher, and they get, and now it's 35 stolen bases, 40 stolen bases, maybe leads the league. I mean, it's a joke.
How about the way I used to go from first to third?
Yes.
On any hit anywhere.
Yeah, it's just the game is not the same. It's just it's kind of a shame, but it's what we have. It's what baseball is, and it's never. Unfortunately, as long as there's a computer in the world, it's never the game's not going to change.
I'm stupid at this, but can you name me a team in the last 10 years that's won a World Series because of analytics?
Well, they're going to say the Houston Astros, but they cheated anyway. Because they're going to say that they used analytics.
They didn't use analytics. They used the ballpark. When Altuve hits 30 home runs, 150 pounds, everybody on the Houston team's a home run hitter.
And they had good.
On that team, everybody that plays for the Houston Astros is a potential home run hitter in that ballpark.
And they had.
It's a beautiful city, and it's a beautiful ballpark.
Yeah,
but the fences are just too short for the ball they're using today.
And the bats. Remember how you used to have to bone the bat? Now they come. They're so pressed. They're so hard. You don't have to worry about boning a bat. For people who don't understand.
Well, I took care of my own bats. I didn't let Bushy take care of my bats. I took care of my own bats.
Okay.
I'm the one that's going to use the bats, so I took care of my own bats.
Okay, Pete.
You know, I've been to spring training with guys. I've been to spring training with guys. You go on a road trip to spring training, and a guy forgot his glove or forgot his jock strap or forgot his. How do you forget your glove? You're a baseball player. How do you forget your jock strap?
Yeah. I guess you're right. Hey, Pete, on a serious note, when you think back, we know what a great career you had. And people would criticize me if I didn't ask you, you know, if you had to not, well, we know what you wouldn't have done. The mistakes, have you thought at this point in your life about the mistakes you made around the game, not playing the game, around the game, because obviously you're a Hall of Famer, but because of situation. So have you thought about that?
Sure, I think about it all the time. Howie, I screwed up, I bet on the game, okay? But I never bet against my team. I had so much faith in my team, I bet on them, okay? Because I was through as a player and I needed something more action, so to speak. I was absolutely wrong, okay? And I think you'll agree that I paid the price, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, and I'm not complaining. I'm not using your show to complain about this because I'm the one that screwed up. So I'll never badmouth anybody that suspended me or did anything else, okay? But me getting fired for betting on the game cost me $100 million. That's what it cost me. So for people who say I haven't been penalized enough, they don't quite know what they're talking about. But I'm going on with life. I'm able to make it. I'm able to be the biggest baseball fan there is today. But all I can tell is tell other people that play the game, don't bet on the game. If you want to bet on football, bet on basketball, but don't bet on baseball if you're in the dugout. Okay, but I definitely think when I bet on the game, I hit an edge. Yeah, I hit an edge. I managed every game the best of my ability to win the game, and that's why you're playing. And I was wrong, no question about it. But I can't change what happened. I really can't change. If I could, if I had a crystal ball, I could change a couple of things, no question about it. But life goes on, Howie. You have to live with your mistakes and just be sorry that you committed the mistakes. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. So, and you're living in Las Vegas now, so you're just...
That's where I work. I don't live in Las Vegas because, Howie, you know it and I know it. I'm not a casino gambler. I don't ever go to the casinos here, okay? I work at the malls. I don't work at the casinos. That's over the years, people think I'm signing autographs at the casino. I've never signed autographs in my life at a casino in Las Vegas. I sign at the shops, the farm shops, the mall at MGM, at the Art of Music store. That's where I sign autographs. Mm-hmm. And this is the only town where my gig works. I could do like card shows 15 times a month in Vegas. I can only do a card show once a year in Philadelphia.
Right.
But because last year, 42 million people visited Las Vegas, Nevada. And they all got money, and they all spend it, and they want to see a celebrity. And we make it an experience. We just don't sign your autograph. We sit you down. We talk to you. We answer your questions. You want to call your mom or your dad or your grandpa or your grandma. we do that. So we make it an experience, and it works. And I'm the only guy that's willing to do this.
That's
Hank Aaron's not going to do this. Willie Mays not going to do this. No. Carl Yastrzemski's not going to do this. And the players playing today don't need to do it. This is how I make my living, being nice to people, being cordial to baseball fans. Let me tell you something. You'll think I'm crazy when I say this. I think I'm the biggest baseball ambassador there is, and they don't even want me around the game. Listen to this, Howie. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. I was born 3 miles from Great American Ballpark. Okay? You know my history with Cincinnati. I have never, never been allowed to go in the clubhouse or in the batting cage at the ballpark.
Yeah, well, they're trying to penalize you, obviously.
Do you don't think I could help some young Cincinnati Red players by going to the cage and working with them? Just like I told you when you called me at the first of this interview, I was doing a batting lesson with a kid back in New Jersey on the phone, trying to help this kid become a better player. That's all I do to young players, try to make them be a better player. Right, Never been in the clubhouse of the new ballpark. I mean, it's just, and Howie, it's been 30 years. Right, I guess it's been in 89.
Yep.
31 and years.
Pete, I will say this. It's always fun talking to you. And I'll never forget the time I walked in the clubhouse. Somebody did a story on me, and he called me the king of sports talkers. And as soon as I walked in the clubhouse, you say, "King, King," and then everybody picked it up. And then that's how that started.
Well, you know, I was the best at giving nicknames.
I know. He called me the king.
Oh, Herbie Lee. I don't know why I called Schmitty Herbie Lee.
And what
he
did
just
you call?
Act like a Herbie Lee to me.
Herbie, and what did you call my son? And now I'll say he's the program director.
Pee-wee. Yeah, he was Pee-wee.
So the people at the station, Kotico uses the name Spike, but they're going to have to start calling him Pee-wee. He's the program director at the radio station.
He was a great kid, always hanging with his dad.
Hey, Pete, it's always fun, and it's a pleasure. And we'll stay in touch, and I always wish you the best. I love talking baseball with you.
Let me tell you why it's fun talking to you, Howie, because you know what the hell you're talking about. You do your homework, okay? That's why you're one of the favorite interviews I do every year, because I like to talk to somebody that knows what the hell they're saying. They're talking from their hearts. They're not talking from a piece of paper. And that's the impression I always got from you. You know, you were a Philly fan from day one, okay? And you always were a Pete Rose fan. I guess the way I played the game made you like me. But I really appreciate our friendship, and you are the king.
Coming from the hit king. And you are correct. And Pete, you are correct.
Have a good day, my man.
All right. Hey, Pete, it's always a pleasure. Thanks, man. Take care. We'll talk.
Okay. Anytime. Anytime.
All right. Bye-bye. So many insightful things talking about the game today. The 80 Phillies team, and Dallas Green was really, really, really important. They had great players. And that 80 team for the Phillies was better than the World Series champion of 2008. No question in my mind. There's no question in my mind. No question. So many players that are better. I don't know that the 2008 team will have a Hall of Famer. The 80 team had a ton of Hall of Famers and great players and a manager that was really great. I mean, just everything worked out well. It's nice to hear Pete talk about his mistakes. It sounds like he's accepted them. There's nothing he can do about them now, so he's got to accept it. And he's right about that 80 playoff series. Absolutely correct that was probably the greatest playoff series in baseball history. So really good. I was happy to have Pete on, and I want to thank him for doing it. One other point I want to make. Charles Barkley said recently he doesn't think the NBA is going to be able to get through this season. Multiple reasons. Players playing in a bubble, getting tired of being there for such a long period of time, and who knows how many positive tests. Even though they think they're protected, this virus is no joke, and everybody's got to be safe and be smart. Don't take it for granted. Just because you're young doesn't mean you get through it. Scott Kingery had some real challenges with the COVID-19. So take it seriously, because there are now doctors are finding out conditions that exist afterwards if you've had it. Could hurt your heart, could hurt your lungs, your kidney, your liver. There's a lot of things it could do. So just be smart and be safe. Be interesting to see whether basketball and baseball get through this completion of the season. All right, I want to thank everybody again for listening to the Howard Eskin podcast, and I want to thank Pete Rose. And we will see you next time on the Howard Eskin podcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.